Thankful this morning for God's visiting during the week. He visits us and He inspires us, and He has this week. And I'm so thankful. The Lord was talking to me during the week about what is your purpose? What is your purpose in your life? There's something that you live by. I don't know maybe if you ever think about it, but have you ever thought, and I'd like for us all to think really seriously about this, if you could sit down and write, what is your purpose in your life? What do you intend to do? What do you have any kind of a guiding principle? Do you have a cause? And some of this could be just, if I could, I would. Finish the sentence. Is there anything in your life that if you could do, if you could help, or you could change, what would it be? What's important to you that you wish you could get done in your life, before you leave this world, while you're here? Is there a mission that you feel like that God has called you to? Is there a purpose in your life that you feel like God has laid on you as His call? Do you even think about it? Do you know it? Have you ever asked God, why am I here? Why did you make me to be born, make me the way that I am, give me the set of circumstances that I have? What am I supposed to do with them? What do you want out of my life before I leave this world? Those are very serious questions, and that's what I've had on my mind all week, is just questioning myself and wondering if we could all have a time of looking into God's Word. That's what I thought of. I thought, well, we're all Christians. In our congregation, we try to, we say we're Christians. The reason why we come here is because we're trying to learn about how to serve the Lord. And if we would put maybe our purpose in a general way, you would say, probably every one of us would say, well, my purpose is to make heaven. So that would be like a general purpose. I want to live, I want to go to heaven. But if you just made that your sole purpose, and it was just like, I'm going to get there. Here I go. I'm getting there. Everybody out of the way. I'm going to heaven. When you look at it that way, you think, well, there should be a little more to it. What does God want me to do with my life while I'm trying to make it to heaven? I don't want to just me go to heaven. Nobody else. Is there another thing that the Lord, looking into God's Word, what guidance do we get there from the Scriptures of what our purpose in life should be, or purposes? It's not like you can only do one thing in your life, but I began to search into the Word, and also I want us to think about this. If you could not put down in words this morning what you feel that your purpose is, if you took check into your life, what is your life saying that your purpose is? The things that we do and say every day states, whether we may not like it or not, but the things that we do and say every day, they state our purpose. What is ruling and governing our lives? The thought that I'm here to do this. What we say and do every day can tell others, or it tells God, the heart language. It tells God or others what we feel like we're here to do. And when we really hold it up in God's light and the light of God's Word and eternity, if this is what all I do in life, I didn't really just state it this way, but my words and my actions and my years of my life stated it for all to see. This was what I felt like I should do in life. how would that purpose measure up in the light of eternity? For instance, and I'll get some scriptures here in just a little bit, but these are thoughts that I felt that God was just turning the searchlight on me, and then I felt that he wanted me to share this. When you look at some people's purposes, what seems to come out of their life, and I'll say seems because we can't really know and understand everyone's hearts. Sometimes we look at an individual and we severely misjudge them. So I'll just say that right off. It's not like I've got a little notebook and everybody here this morning, I've gotten written down what I think your purpose is, because I haven't done that. But there have been some people that I've contemplated in my life and just studied, just maybe out in the world, or just kind of looked at what they did and said and accumulated and worked so hard for. And I've thought, it seems like that their purpose is to have a lot of money. I mean, really, I've just looked at people sometimes and I thought, they have that aim and purpose in their life that they're going to just have a lot. And there's other people that I've looked at their lives and I thought, you know, it looks like that their purpose is to just help whoever needs help. And I just see that person just going around and they're just there to help. They're just into everything, helping. Those are two things that I've just observed in life and excuse me. I think maybe the verse that prompted this little study was Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, 2, and 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. My water is right there. It's right. I wonder this morning, would I admit to a purpose of wanting to please myself? If I took stock of my life and I decided, looking at every intent, every motive, every hidden thing and every apparent thing, If I looked at my life, would I have to determine, and could I admit this, that everything I did was to please myself? But this says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. There's a tendency in the world today, and I've seen this more often than not, authors, bloggers, people that write opinions, and you know, everybody's out there now on Facebook and on Twitter and all of these places where people express themselves, and you read it on t-shirts and on bumper stickers and on little signs in the house or on the wall or on a little jar that sits on the desk or whatever. People are stating things that are important to them. There's another word for that could be, if I read enough of your little mottos and things that you vented and things that you tweeted or put on Facebook, could I determine your purpose in your life? Could I understand some things about you or you about me? But there seems to be a something that's going around where you dump people in your life. You dump them. if they're a bother, you don't need that person in your life. If there's some kind of a hanger-on or someone who takes instead of gives, somebody that drains you emotionally, someone who abuses you, and don't get me wrong, but I understand there's some people that they can't bear things any longer. They need some help with a situation. I understand that. But there just seems to be a trend in the world today where if I don't need you in my life, I cut you off. I don't speak to you. I don't have to speak to you anymore. I don't need to be around you. I don't need to hear your stuff. And I'm thinking when I read this scripture right here, and there's a person that I had dealings with in my life, and I contemplated saying to myself, if that's what they're going to bring into my life, I don't need that. I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to ever answer them. I don't ever have to talk to that person anymore. And the Lord dealt with me. And here's the scripture that he just brought to my mind when I thought about saying that to myself. Well, don't ever talk to him again. Here's what it said. Even Christ pleased not himself, for as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Who are the ones in this little reading here? The reproaches of them. Okay, this is Jesus talking. Jesus is saying to his Father, the reproaches of all the people, the anger, the gall, the bitterness, the vitriol, the venom, the anger, the personal anger that people had against God himself. You didn't do me right. I hate you. I don't want you. People who say that in their hearts to God, people who are bitter against God, all of that came on Christ. He took all of that. He bore all of that. The lashes, the slaps, the violent pressing down of the thorny crown upon his head. It wasn't done gently. It was done with venom. It was done with anger. All of the anger that whole mankind had against God, it was all put on Jesus. And it was like the Lord said to me, are you willing for people who are angry against God to vent on you? And I had to ask myself, am I willing? Am I willing to bear the someone who has deep problems to talk to me? Maybe it's not against me at all, but I'm bearing something for Christ. Just a thought. And I began to think about the world that we live in and the people that we encounter from day to day. What is my purpose? What am I to be doing with my life and with my time when I go out to town, when I meet people, when I engage in conversation with people? If my purpose is to please myself, I'm not going to be able to bear what we're getting from all the hurting people around us. I won't be able to handle it. But if my purpose is not to please myself, but it's this one, number two, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, we need to establish the balance here, because if we took it like the enemy would run this over on us and cause us to be a doormat, cause people to disrespect us so that they would run over us and that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about changing what God wants me to do in my life to please everyone else. Well, I think you ought to wear this. Well, I think that you ought to look like this. Well, I think that you ought to go here. Well, I think I can't do that. I can't do that. I've got to, my purpose first must be to please the Lord, of course, to make it to heaven, to obey his word. But in our dealings with others, what is my purpose? Is my purpose to be comfortable, to always please myself, to never take nothing off nobody? That's what the little saying is. But is it to please? And I looked up this word because I didn't want to get it wrong. I didn't want to say, well, we've got to do what everybody says. Even we've got to make everybody happy. That comes a little closer. But this one, this word please, it comes from a root that means to lift. To lift, to raise, and it's speaking of the emotions, to raise the emotions, to give someone a lift. Let us, then it says, let every one of us give his neighbor a lift. That you can do that. You may not be able to please real gripey and hard to please people. We can't do that. So that's not what this verse is saying. But the verse is saying, let's have a purpose of lifting someone's load, of lifting, giving some pleasure into someone's life that has no pleasure. How can we do that? You know, it's going to take some study, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take thought. Let us, every one of us, please his neighbor for his good. Now, this qualifies it even more. Now, if I were to go to a man who, well, he needs a lift, but he's also looking for a fix. And if I were to hand him $1,000, it might raise his emotional level a little bit, but what would he do with it? He'd go get some drugs. Did I please that man for his good? No, I didn't. So the scripture gives a little bit of understanding here. Then it says, to edification. What does the word edification mean? It means to build up. So we want to have a purpose in our lives of lifting up, giving a little pleasure to someone, raising their emotions a little bit. How can we do that? That's easy. Usually it's just by being pleasant. That word please, the word pleasant, we can be cheerful. We can be pleasant. Well, you're going to come across some people who resent that. So we're going to have to figure out, how can I help this person who resents my cheerful outlook? Really and truly. There are people who are angry because you're happy. So there's got to be even more. How can I do something for this person's good and to build them up? It's just going to take some time and thought. And getting to know that person and understand what makes that person, what builds them up. Maybe their self-worth has been beaten down so badly by their mom and dad, by an older sibling, by someone in their life, by a teacher, by a boss, by a spouse. That's usually where those close relationships, people are beaten down today. We're meeting them every day. People have been abused and abused and abused. And they're way, way down here. A lot of the people, I mean, in their emotions, in the way they feel about themselves. This is the world that we're dealing with. Our purpose, individually and as a church, this is one of the scriptural purposes I believe the Lord wants us to have. Just getting little bits of things out of this verse helps us to know what the Lord wants us to do. Think about this. If my purposes would be discerned by the people around me, by the things that I have said and done for a long time, could they say about me, she's always trying to tell everybody what to do? Have you ever been around somebody and after a while you think, they're just to tell everybody what to do? That's what they are, a judge of everybody. And they look at everybody with, I see everything that's wrong with you. And here, let me fix that. Or let me tell you what to do. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Where you constantly feel they're measuring everything that I do. And they're deciding in their minds whether it's good or right, whether it's kind of dumb, or there's three or four ways you could do that better. and just constantly letting you know that and constantly telling you that. And I'm just, is that our purpose? And I would ask myself that. Is that my purpose in life? Is that my hidden purpose, or is that my apparent purpose even? To look at everybody in my life and make a decision. Well, I don't like the way they wear their hair. Why? Wonder why that girl dyes it green. What's with all this green and this red? What is this expression? You know, we make a judgment about it. And we look at that boy and he's got this little old ridge up here with comes off in a little tail on top. And we think about it and we think, what's with him? Why can't he just be normal and just wear his hair, you know, like a nice man? We make these kinds of judgments about young people. And the Lord's just been checking me lately and helping me to see your job is not, you don't know that person. You don't know that young man. You don't know where he is in his heart. You don't know who cussed him out this morning. What is my purpose? My purpose is to lift. My purpose is to do someone good. My purpose is to build someone up. And so, how can I do that? I'm not going to tell you how each of us ought to do it, but I'm just thinking about the motives that give us the reasons why we do things. And I thought about this. I thought about if I did have a cause that I would champion, what would it be? Just kind of a for fun question. I asked some of the family this week, if you had a cause, something you'd like to see get done on earth while you're here. I know someone who is aggressive with their cause. They want their city to never put any animals to sleep again. And they're at the city hall and they're writing letters to the editor and they're militant about this cause. And there's other causes people get into. And it seems like that's their purpose in life. Their purpose is to make people aware of, say, mental illness. Something maybe they've experienced and dealt with. And they look around and they think, people don't understand this. And so I'm going to make them understand it. And people just get all into their causes. Well, our cause, think about what David said when he was questioned about his motive of going out to fight with Goliath. Remember what David said? Is there not a cause? What was David's purpose? What was his cause? What was the cause that he had on his heart? It wasn't just to kill Goliath and get fame. It wasn't that at all. His brothers said, why are you down here? Little scalawag, you're supposed to be up at home taking care of the sheep. And David had been sent by his father to bring food to his brothers. And here his brothers misjudged him totally and said, you're curious about the battle. You've just come to see how the battle is. Go back home. We don't want you here. But what was David's cause? What was his purpose? It was revealed by how he answered Goliath. His purpose really wasn't to make a hero of himself at all. But he loved the Lord. And when he heard Goliath and the other Philistines challenging the Lord and challenge the Lord's people and defy the name of the Lord and say that they were bigger than the Lord and that they were invincible, David's heart was nobly, very noble in him, very pure motive of why he's desecrating the name of my God. He is cursing against my God. We can't have this. Nobody should be so afraid that they would allow this to go on. He had a passion. He had a purpose. He had a cause. And it was a pure cause. It was the name of the Lord. We can have that. This can go all kinds of directions this morning, but there's other scriptural causes like that. I've thought about 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. And 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Here's some designation here to the children of God. It's like this should lift us up, not in pride, but in to cause us to think, I've got a holy calling here. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I remember my dad using the word peculiar, and he said it meant people with a purpose. You've been called. The purpose to which you've been called is holiness and righteousness. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now that's a purpose. That's a holy and noble purpose. I want to show forth the praises of God. David had that. He couldn't stand for his God to have those curses hurled at him and to have those boasts made against him. David's purpose and his cause was, we can't let this happen. I don't know just how to go about that in our day. There is so much. There are so many things that are said against the name of our God. How much do we go against it? I don't know, but we can do this. We can show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness. How can we do that? I believe we can do it in a way that goes along with the first verse that I read. Pleasing our neighbor to his good for edification. Showing forth the praises of God. How can we do that? It's very easy to get into a griping way of life. sunk down with the rest of the world around us. But you know, I believe one thing. If we can show out of our countenance, the religion of the Lord is a joyful religion. I really believe that. Yes, it's contemplative. Yes, it's sober and grave. And our need of God is desperate. Yes, we have burdens and we have griefs. We have longings. We have understood mysteries in our lives that we ponder. But this is really should be our down deep purpose. Lord, I want to show forth your praises. How can I do that? How can I do it to bring pleasure to others? I may not be able to answer those questions for us all today, but we can contemplate and say, Lord, how can I have this purpose in my life and live with this purpose from day to day? As for me, one thing that I felt like is, and this little saying helped me a lot, tell to Jesus the sorrow and give, give the world the sunshine and tell to Jesus the rest. You understand what that's saying? When I go out and I meet the world, if they would read my purpose and say, and judge me by the things that I say and do and my appearance, would they be able to say, well, she has a purpose to thank the Lord. She has a purpose to show forth God's praises. How would I demonstrate that? How would I be able to have that come forth as a purpose out of my life? If I was always down, if I was always griping, if I was always discontented and telling the hard, the horrible, the ugly things of my life, would that be giving to the world the sunshine? I feel like one place that helps me there is to constantly bring all those things to the Lord. Have them all taken to the Lord. Have them all laid down at the Lord's feet. Hurry and tell Him every affliction. Tell Him each pain and sorrow of heart. He has all of those things able. He can bear them. He can take them, but people cannot. Yes, there are times that we need someone. There have been times when my heart where I've thought, who could I just tell where that person wouldn't feel like I was griping? Who could I share this with? Who would understand this? The Lord does. But sometimes I realize, yes, we do need a person with skin. We need somebody to tell our troubles to, who wouldn't judge us, who wouldn't go tell it, But to the world, they out there, they already have so many problems. And it's sometimes when we meet with people that do have problems, we can commiserate with them and be able to say, you know what, I understand what you're going through, because you may not know this about me, but I hurt too. Here's where I hurt. I hurt just like you. And sometimes we look at things in our lives and we say, you know, this is hard to bear, but it helps me to understand other people. And so, Lord, I'm thankful for these burdens that you've given me, because now I know how to empathize with other people. I don't know if you're making any sense out of this. But the Lord has given us different things in the Bible that I believe establish our purpose. That our purpose should be that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the Lord brought to my mind about Daniel, and you've probably thought that already this morning, but in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we read about a purpose that he had. In his situation, he was an Israelite man, young man. I believe these young men were around 17. Okay, so just young men. They had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. They were children, it said, of the king's seed. So they were in the family of the kings. They were princes. They were handsome, well-favored, skillful in wisdom and cunning in knowledge and science. So these were educated, privileged, entitled, maybe you might say. That's not a good word today. But anyway, these were young men who had grown up in the best of homes. And they were chosen, they were carried away captive, but they were chosen for this special type of captivity, in that they were to be educated in all the wisdom of Babylon. And when the king did it, he changed their names to be names that favored Babylonian gods. And before, they had Israelite names, and Israelite names had very much to do with their God. Many of the names had the word God in them. I don't know about these. Mishael, the word El, had to do with their God. So many of the Israelite names had to do with God. It would maybe a gift of God, or lover of God, or worshiper of God, or of the house of God. This word El is in one of their names. It could be that the Ah, Hananiah, and Azariah, that I haven't looked it up, but many times words that had the "ah" on the end, or the "el." El was definitely the name of God. So their names in Hebrew were had to do with their gods, with one God, I mean, the true God. Well, when they changed them to Babylonian names, it had to do with Babylonian gods. So you see what happened to these young men. The expectation of this new king was that he was going to make them leaders in Babylonian, not only kingdom, but worship. They were to be dedicated to the Babylonian gods. Well, this says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Now that's talking about the diet. But I believe that Daniel's purpose was a deep purpose, that nothing was going to define him except the one true God. He was not going to be defined in his life by Babylon. And we shouldn't either. We shouldn't let the gods of this world determine who we are and what we do. We can't please everybody in that way, that's for sure. We can be going out to lift up and to help, but this purpose was that we keep ourselves undefiled. And that's one thing that I believe in the book of James it says, but pure religion and before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This must be an underlying purpose. I purpose in my heart to not defile myself. Now that's quite a purpose, because it's going to involve what you do in your mind. It's going to involve what you see with your eyes, what you put in front of you, what you follow, what you listen to, what guides you. There's so much that can defile you. We're going to have to put away a lot of stuff that's in this world. We're going to have to just put it away and say, like Daniel, I'm not going to defile myself. Another purpose, I believe it's in the book of Acts. Let me just find it here. This is Acts chapter 11, verse 22. After Stephen was stoned to death, that persecution scattered a lot of the saints. And they went, in this verses 19 and 20, it tells where all they went. They spoke to the Greeks. They spoke about Jesus to these far off places. And verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then the tidings of those things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What does that word cleave mean? It has a double meaning, which is funny to me, because if you take a meat cleaver and you cleave meat, you're cutting it apart. But this cleave means to stick to something. It means to stick together. It means to stay with something no matter what. And this is a purpose that the apostle Barnabas, or the disciple Barnabas, gave to the people. He said, with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. That should be a purpose that we should have too. I want to have a purpose. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm not going to be discouraged. You know, that will really be tested in your life. There's all kinds of things that have caused people to leave the Lord. Imagine that. Things that people have done cause you to leave the Lord and not cleave to the Lord. To be so discouraged, to be so despondent that you don't think it worth it to live for the Lord. But there are going to be things that come to try you that way. Disappointment with people is one. If someone in your life, and this is a caution to us, if we lift up people too highly and then they disappoint us and we find out that they're really human, and we're left disappointed, so grieved and so disappointed that we're discouraged about living for the Lord. I think it was Brother Marty that said, he said, now what would you think if you came and just gave it to me, just ran me down and just hurt me real bad, and I went and left Sister Linda. Said, I'm leaving Linda. You hurt me. I've heard him preach that, and it gave you a real thought. This is what people do to the Lord. One of the other people in their life comes to them, runs them down, so I leave the Lord. He said, what did Linda have to do with it? What's the Lord got to do with it? If somebody over here is acting up and not doing what they should, that's not the Lord. So that gave me some perspective there. We shouldn't let anything cause us to leave the Lord or be discouraged. We should cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart, with a real a decision, a noble decision. I'm not going to let anything. We've heard that little funny story about a young man who tells his girlfriend that he's going to see her. He said, oh, I love you. I love you more than anyone else. And I'll come and visit you next Saturday if it doesn't rain. Just how did he love his girl? He didn't love her very much. What do they call that? A fair weather friend? A summer soldier? Someone who doesn't brave very much. Who says they love, but they don't really love. So he said here that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now there's another purpose that I've read about in the scripture. 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. Chapter 9 and verse 7. My marginal topic for this verse is rules for giving. And it's talking about giving of your means to help the poor or to help the work of the Lord or to support ministers or whatever it is. It starts with a purpose. That's what he says here. But every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. And this helped me to, it checked me on what is your purpose when you give? What is it? Jesus looked down and talked about that, didn't he? When he sat at the place where he could see people give to the box in the house of the Lord, he judged purposes, didn't he? He asked his disciples, who do you think? He just pointed out, he said, you see those that came in with these big old heavy coffers full of coins, and they brought them out in front of everybody and they just displayed it and made sure that everybody could see what they were doing, and it was kind of laborious. They put all that money in that box, walked away all important. Jesus noted it. It said he, how did it say that? We better just get that. He watched them. Yes. Let's see. Jesus sat over against the treasury. This is Mark 12 and 41. He beheld how. Do you know the Lord's beholding how we do things? He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this widow, this poor widow, has cast in more than all those which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance. They had a whole lot, and they put in a whole lot, but they had so much more, he's saying. And she cast in everything she had. She went back home, and she didn't know where everything was going to come from after that. I'm very confident that God provided for her. But he said she cast in more. So the Lord's looking how we give. How do I give? Do I have a purpose in my heart for good? Do I give because everybody else is? Everybody's giving. If I don't walk up there during the time of all of the offering, when people are walking up there, or some churches, they pass a plate and there's pressure put on. Sometimes I've heard about this where the plate is passed and person puts something in, they passed it back to them. Not enough. Sometimes I've heard about preachers up in there who said, folks, you didn't dig down deep enough. Pass those plates out again. Now, what purpose would a person have in their heart if they were to give that second time when the plates passed around? I don't think it'd be a very good purpose, do you? I don't think the Lord wanted it done that way. I really know the Lord didn't want his preachers to pressure people for money. That's turned off a lot of people from being saved. He didn't want his people doing that. And the giving part, he said here, it should be done with a good purpose, not grudgingly or of necessity. Necessity means I have to. He doesn't want us to feel like I have to give. Oh, I have to give here. I'll tell you how the world interprets it. Somebody wrote into the paper one time and said, they don't tip us on Sunday. The church people don't give tips on Sunday because they're all mad about all the money they gave away at church. That's what they said. That's how they interpret it. You come in with a sour face and you gripe at the waitress and you don't tip. And they're saying, that's because they gave their money away at church. They're all mad. What kind of a purpose do I have when I give to the Lord? He said, let him do it, have a purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the purpose that we have in our heart is, Lord, anything you ask for, I will do that. If you lay it on my heart. And then there's sometimes that I've heard of people saying, all right, this month, all of my profit goes to the Lord. Or this year, all of the profit goes to the Lord. And the Lord would bless and bless and bless. And they'd have a really good year. Lots of profit. You know what the devil would tempt you to do? Wow, we've made more this year than ever before. I promise to give that to the Lord. Oh. He said, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He would want, if we purposed to give that, we better do it. But we better get down and say, Lord, I promise this to you. And I want you to purify my heart so that when I give it to you, it's done cheerfully. Lord, I want to do this right. I want to give this to you because I promised to you. I remember one time, a I don't know if my mother would remember. Mama, do you remember this? I wanted to tell about the time that a lady brought you a little box for Christmas, and she had put all of her change for the whole year. When she had change at the store, she put it into a little box, and she told the Lord she was going to give it to the pastor's wife at Christmas. And I remember, she didn't, now when I look back on it, you know what? This woman lived by faith. Her husband didn't make a salary. She herself was the wife of a gospel worker. This is her purpose that she had. She purposed she was going to give all of her change to the pastor's wife. And it was just a little card box. It makes me nearly cry to think about it now. When I think about what she sacrificed, she put it all into this little card box, and I remember how heavy it was. I was just a little girl. This impressed me a lot. My mother and I held that box, and it was heavy. We didn't know what was in it. Mama said, "Oh my, what is this?" And the sister said, this is what I told the Lord, and this belongs to you." Mama unwrapped it, and here was this little card box full of pennies and dimes and nickels. I don't even remember how much it was. It may not have amounted to $20. I don't know. But she didn't have much to give. That was a wonderful purpose that she had, and she gave it cheerfully. So these are things this morning that the Lord just kept bringing to my mind. What is your purpose? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, "Lord, why am I here? What do you want me to do before I die? What are the things that you want me to give or to or to say? What is it that you want me to live in my life? What do you want me to display to others and bring things to my mind that I may serve you and please you and do all that I can to help those around?"